Next up on Off Duty, learning how to taste spirits and cocktails like a pro.
Helping you enjoy the finer points of food and drink. This is Off Duty from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome to the Off Duty podcast, where we talk about all things food and drink. I'm Kevin Sintemong.
And I'm Beth Cracklauer.
We have back on the show Jackson Cannon. He is bar director at Eastern Standard, co-owner of the Hawthorne, both in Boston, and a judge at the prestigious San Francisco World Spirits Competition. You'll see those little sort of gold medals on bottles of spirits. It's these guys who award those gold medals. And he's here to teach us how to taste cocktails and spirits as opposed to just chugging them back with abandon by the pitcher with a side of nachos. No, there's no nachos here. Jackson, welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Beth. How are you?
Good, good. I wish I could be there drinking with you.
Yes, too. So this is a blind tasting. I'm kind of the blind tasting guinea pig.
And I'm the designated host.
Yes, I don't. Beth is in Pittsburgh. She won't be able to taste. If I start slurring too much, if I'm just totally incoherent, than usual, I should say. Don't worry. Beth, as always, will get us home.
Actually, this is a total tangent, but do you remember the show WKRP in Cincinnati?
Yes.
And that there was my favorite episode is where Dr. Johnny Fever, they're trying to show the effects of alcohol and how it impairs your judgment and your reflexes. But the more Dr. Johnny Fever drinks, the sharper he gets. So that's what I'm expecting from you.
Oh, wow. That is a high bar you just set. Okay, we'll see what happens. So to describe the setup here, we have in front of me four identical shot glasses filled with a clear, they're all clear spirits.
Uh-huh.
So I can't, this, to me, it all looks like either water or vodka. So, but Jackson, lead the way.
Well, let's just like dive in for a second because we're talking about being impaired and, you know, at the spirits competitions, we have to judge maybe 170 spirits in 2 days, and there is no way to do that fairly and accurately if you're actually consuming. So I make a distinction. I do tell people I drink almost every day, but tasting is something different.
Okay.
So we're going to do a few things that we do with all like new bartenders that we're training to evaluate spirits. We're going to do those things with you. We're going to have you spit when you take a sip.
Okay.
So
that goes against like my nature, but I can
there's the two reasons for it. One, you want to keep your senses sharp.
Sure.
Because we can go out for a drink later and dull our senses in a really nice way. but if you have to do different aspects of your job or do this for a long haul, you're going to need those. You're going to need your senses to be as sharp as they can be. But there's another element, too, is that since this is we're going to try and control as many variables as we can when we taste professionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by setting up the same atmosphere in your mouth, it's going to help your sense memory, and it's going to help you have a better catalog going forward of what things are.
Got it.
So there's even times that I'm in a social situation where I'm offered something from another bartender. Hey, have you tried Mastica? You know, like, yeah, sure, let's check that out. And we may sip and spit right there in the middle of a social situation just because for a moment there we're going into that evaluation mode, okay?
Right,
so,
right.
Yes, you have discerned that I brought all clear spirits for you, kind of like taking that out of it.
Right.
But the nose knows. So we're gonna start by kind of going right down the four if you want and see if we can get some of your own aroma impressions right off the bat.
Right. So, and Beth is going to try to guess.
Yeah, Beth,
from what you say, I'll see if I can
see if you can guess what spirit it is. So we'll try and go all the way through actually tasting a couple of them.
Okay.
Before you make a guess, right? So let's just let's look at this as a couple of comparatives. Let's pick up one and two.
Okay.
And you're going
to
left to right, and then when we nose wine, a lot of times we keep our mouth closed and we really bury our face into the glass to get as many nuances as we can. When we nose spirits, we keep our mouth open, so just kind of like. And that just kind of keeps it flowing through and keeps it from burning out your ability to smell.
Mm-hmm.
You getting anything different off of one and two?
One's pretty neutral. Two, I'm getting like maybe juniper.
What else?
Light citrus.
I've already got a guess, but I'll
spell it. Yeah.
Let's take a taste of one.
Yeah, okay.
And here I'm going to do a little double sip. This is the first one of the day. I'm going to take a quick sip and spit, and then I'm going to let the other one linger in my mouth a little bit before I spit it out.
Okay.
These sound effects are amazing.
Now, there's a few things going on here. I just gotta say, that's just beautiful. Yep. Acidity, nice mouth coating. Yeah, a little bit of burn. Obviously, it's clear spirit.
Right.
But sort of wonderful, light confection notes.
I'm getting mostly, let's see.
These glasses, too, are a challenge for aroma, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, it's
small glasses, so they're not, we're having to kind of
work getting nicely.
To get
it's like, you know, dryness, sweetness. I'm getting more kind of burn. To me, it's kind of a high ABV, maybe around like a 47 or so.
That's alcohol by volume for the novices.
Yes.
All right, let's get into number two real quick, and then maybe between the two comparison, we can have a little guess. Again, just kind of getting a nice sense of the aroma again, and then going to sip and spit.
I like number two better.
Yeah. should we have Beth guess what number two is?
I mean, I would have to think gin, given the notes you noted.
Mm-hmm. Right. I would guess a gin as well.
And then, so Kevin, what would your determination of number one be?
Number one, I think, is a vodka.
Right.
Right. I don't know which one, though.
Do you want to take a stab at brand?
Hold on.
Because we play that game all the time. You know, we want to land in the category, but if we can, we'll go right down to the brand and anything else we can see about it.
Belying the notion that all vodkas taste alike, which many people accuse them of.
I just, you know, this is going to be...
That's not true, yeah.
This was going to have trouble translating enough. I didn't want to bring like five vodkas in here and just completely torture Kevin that way.
Based on the mouthfeel, okay, I think it's either Aylesbury Duck or Elix.
Great, great, great call. Pick one.
One more. Hold on. Aylesbury.
It's absolute Elix.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh.
No. Still, but here's good job, Kevin.
Absolutely. Wow. When we reason down through something like this and land on the quote-unquote wrong answer, it's the reasoning behind it that makes the most sense. And you perceive that weight. I've had a little bit of experience with these two products. So Absolute Elix, for those that don't know, is basically, if you could think of sort of a single farm version of Absolute.
Right.
But there's also some elements. They tout the copper calcification, but really it's the... for me, it's the way that they go about the fractional blending that allows a little bit more texture to be present in this version of the brand. And it's really, really gorgeous stuff. And, you know, if you've ever been to Sweden, there's not a Monsanto product in that country. It's all heirloom varieties of wheat. And this is from a single source. It's really quite compelling story.
It's worth the few extra bucks, the Elix.
And then what style, if you were going gin here, what style are we in, Kevin?
This is, I think this is more like kind of New American or no?
He's scanning my face for any. I've just spent a day judging where I kept
pretty,
a poker face for like 15 hours.
I have to say,
I'm bad at
discerning the kind of a different
so when we
gin
see,
style.
When we
so
see
it's
that,
either London Dry or like kind of a
right,
New American.
When we see that juniper punch where you're generally thinking we're in London Dry or we might be in the New World, the categories of geography don't make as much of an impact as do the process or the botanical build, the desired result. So, this is interesting because it is a London Dry. It's not one of the older, nobler ones. It's one that's kind of been fashioned to sit sort of in between. So it's a little lower proof than Beefeater, but it has a quality to it that makes it versatile enough to be stirrable and shakeable for those great London Dry classics.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ford's gin, created by Simon Ford, the great patron of bartenders everywhere, who wanted to deliver something through the 86 company that could be sort of a well-driven product at a really high quality and really great and flexible for cocktails. So,
right.
All right, we got two more straight spirits, and okay. then I'm going to shake it up in here. And
so
see
one,
if you can...
so far I'm 0-0, but very close to the first.
Yeah, line, I would so. I would say you're, yeah. No, you're more like 90%.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? Like the you're nailing it. All right, number three. Let's kind of get in there for a second. Beth, what do you smell?
Nothing.
Okay, so yeah, this is
that was cruel.
Kind of. I mean, I know. Can I say what it is or?
Let's go through it. Okay. Like, let's describe it first.
It's yeah. It's a kind of grassy, vegetal. What I like to kind of say, sort of, kind of a just a touch of funk, but mm-hmm. not like a barnyard, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is more like banana on a hot day than it is.
Yeah,
like
that's
newer, right? You know.
Yes.
I've got grassy.
Grassy, little
beer.
Tropical notes.
Banana on the hot day, I have to say, is right on the nose. I think.
Huh, no pun intended.
Yeah, Jackson has
right,
done
let's,
this.
Let's kind of compare.
And that's the funny thing about tasting, though, is that when as soon as you say something like that, it's like I that's all
yeah.
I can smell.
Yeah,
it's amazing, right?
It's why when we are tasting for evaluations for awards, we don't speak to each other. Uh-huh. We'll go through a whole flight and spend, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes getting our own notes. We'll then go around the table and share those notes, and it's so revelatory because one of the reasons that we impanel judges the way that we do is three or four of you will be lockstep with each other like all through the morning, right? And then mm-hmm. there's that one where you're like, I gave this a no medal, like da da da, and like everybody else is like, God, I had this silver or gold. And sometimes three of you might be saying this product isn't great, and one person's like, hey, can we all just slow down? Like we're like, this is the best balsamica I've ever had, you know. Uh-huh. Like, and so you're like, oh, okay. So like, you revisit something, and it is amazing that when somebody starts saying those adjectives, like how it can help you. But at the same time, when we're judging for award, we're really trying not to push each other around until there's a moment where we can help each other.
Right, right, right. Absolutely.
Should we get this in the mouth?
Yep.
Mm.
Oh. Oh wow.
So are we confirming? Which elements are we confirming more than other elements here?
Definitely getting the kind of, there's more of like a sweetness, that definitely getting the banana, less kind of vegetal that I was getting on the nose. Mm-hmm. More on the kind of sweet side.
Yeah. The confections, range here now towards, a little bit of like, brown sugar, not necessarily like burnt sugar, but definitely skewing a little towards a hint of caramel for me. Mm-hmm. There's a creaminess to this that's also kind of more, like a kind of milkshakey kind of egg cream sort of
yeah.
thing happening. Of course,
yeah.
there's a bit of drop right off into the alcohol on the finish. So that kind of burns away pretty quickly. And not necessarily a level of minerality that we were just experiencing.
Right.
But smooth in its way.
Right, right, right.
These aren't really sipping spirits here. We're tasting cocktail ingredient spirits.
Yeah.
So, looking at it, I would say that there's a pleasant bitterness at the very end, kind of a cola thing happening on my tongue, but not enough to be astringent. And most of the grassiness that was there on the nose seems to kind of have
yeah no it's
sort
it's
of
really
kind
odd
of come
it's
into
like,
perspective.
I thought it was one kind of spirit, but then when I tasted it, I was like, that's not that spirit.
All right,
yeah,
Beth, are you following?
I had a guess based on aroma, but now what you're saying about the taste could possibly be throwing me off. Should I say what
I think? Yeah, please, let's do this.
I was thinking Rome Agricole.
Uh huh.
When you at first,
right?
But now I'm not so sure.
And I thought at first it was a tequila, but mm-hmm. now it's like it feels like a rum.
Right.
Yeah, it tastes like a rum.
This is a rum. This is a rum that neither of you has probably had as much experience with. This is Bully Boy Rum out of Boston, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And it is done in the kind of what we would consider traditional Boston style, which is a Jamaican style, which is made from molasses.
Right.
Twice
mm-hmm.
pot distilled and then lightly aged. So it's still a clear spirit. It's still young. But yeah, that banana is really there,
yeah.
that those tropical fruits are there, and
But it's so odd that I sniffed it. I was like, oh, this has to be a tequila. But the deeper you go, and the more I sniffed it, and then the taste was like, wow.
Right.
It's prime example of kind of the nose.
Yeah,
drinking,
well, yeah, know. No, and it's you got to do this. You got to practice.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You got to trust yourself. We there's a tradition in the bar room, right, of sort of like onesies, which is kind of it comes out of New York, actually, for bars that are open till 4 in the morning. The bartenders need a little something at about 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. So they'll gather around and do it, you know, the many names for the little cheeky or the steegy of whatever the house's favorite thing to perk the staff up is.
Right.
But when we're getting ready for competition, stuff like that, we start saying, we got to substitute blindsies. And so we'll do like shots in the bar, you know, upon occasion with like you'll step away and let somebody just pick with no stipulation. And,
right.
You know, sometimes you get turned around, a cognac for a rum or, you know, but you usually should trust your first impulse usually is kind of usually right. But
right.
Anyway, number 4 here.
Okay. Yep.
Sorry to be all business, cracking the whip. What do you got, Kev?
Oh, what is that? Something confectionery, but it's like a...
Oh, he's going to hate me when I put this power word in his head.
Oh, man. Yeah, go ahead.
Greek yogurt.
Oh. Yeah.
A little bit of like kind of that horchata thing, that fermented milk kind of vibe,
yes.
You know?
Okay, I was trying not to be rude, but yeah, it smells like it. There's this kind of rotting.
No, people call this baby vomit.
Yeah.
Too. That's just not great tableside language, you know?
Yes. I'm familiar with baby vomit. Yes, it is baby vomit. Right.
Well, because it's like that's less nasty vomit. Like, let's be real.
Yeah,
it's
the, right.
You know, slightly digested milk kind of.
Yeah, so that's kind of.
It's really sort of.
That's what I'm getting. It's very, mild.
Yeah.
But it's like that. It's like sort of some kind of like sweet confectionery mixed with a little bit of baby vomit.
It's a tough glass to do it, but let's push past that and see if we get anything else in the nose. Can you speak to like any floral characteristics or other fruit notes?
It's like a, is it like a, not, is it mango? Is it a?
I'm less tropical. I'm hearing sort of the kind of apple, unripe peach, vague, like there's a plum in there somewhere.
I'm getting plum. Plum, yeah. Yeah.
You're not supposed to be able to smell salinity, but I'm sensing like, right, it's like a pickled plum, or it's like a salted an apple with a little bit of, you know, sweet, delicate creme fraiche with it.
Right. Beth, what's your gander from that?
Does it smell strong?
No, it's not. It does. There's not a lot of burn. I mean,
we're getting acclimated.
It's very subtle. Yeah.
Should we see?
So it doesn't smell like something that's necessarily super high proof.
No, not from the nose. So,
should we see what we can confirm of that? Get any new notes, and maybe Beth will have a better shot at guessing from afar.
What am I getting here? A little, just a touch of vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
I always go to grass.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I feel like you can't
get descriptive in there. Like, what kind of grass? Like, what kind of?
It is. It's like, I mean, cliche, but the fresh cut,
a little wet.
Not kind of the dry. Yeah, it's wet, fresh cut grass. After spring, spring dew.
To me, and this has got a great texture, really strong minerality is sort of hanging in the mouth. I get this almost like, I don't know, that's like lanolin or like that's that, there's that sort of like hand salve kind of thing going on. Like a little aloe vera kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Really well textured. The fruit is not at all like, you know, out of balance. That kind of sourness is completely kind of moving away.
Right.
Great salinity, a little stone, rocky kind of thing in the finish.
Yeah.
Category ideas, anyone?
Beth?
Jeez. I mean, I'm getting all this apple from you guys, but I mean, if it were an apple brandy, I don't think it would be clear.
Oh, it could be. Absolutely. But it isn't.
It isn't. No. It's not like an Applejack or something. I'm stuck. This is baby vomit. Really, kind of.
That's the actual telltale for
it. It's a tequila.
This is Fortaleza's Blanco. Yeah, it really shows kind of what tequila can be. This is done in very traditional method. Fortaleza is just a wonderful place to visit if you can ever get down there and see their process and learn from them. It's really, really quite magical. And, you know, this is the kind of tequila you should be drinking, and you shouldn't be trusting I don't know. I hope she's not a big sponsor. Oprah Winfrey shouldn't be picking your tequila for you. Is all I've got to say. You know, you should let the good people at Fortaleza supply.
Fortaleza,
you know?
is really wonderful stuff, and they do make it in the old sort of traditional method with the concrete. Mm-hmm. What are those called?
Tahonas.
Tahonas.
No, it's really powerful and really really beautiful. And yeah, I'm really partial to Blanco. You know, if you age it a little bit, it gets a little more wood. The Blanco's rested enough.
Right.
But I like them because they're just a little bit more full of sensation, you know,
kind of
a little louder. Right. All right, so we make a cocktail with one of these four spirits.
Excellent.
Yeah,
so
put my headphones
now the objective is for me to guess what the base spirit is of the cocktail. What's really awesome here is that Jackson has actually brought his own ice.
Well, I wanted to say a quick thank you, actually, to the world famous and incredible bar Dead Rabbit for supplying us with some fresh lime juice
and ice. Wow, it is Dead Rabbit ice.
Okay. So I didn't have to come all the way from Boston with it.
Again, top notch sound effect. Yeah. That's the best sound in the world.
A Boston shaker, glass top, because, naturally.
This is something that would be helpful for many listeners to know. Why do you prefer the Boston style shaker? First, tell people what it is.
All right. So the Boston shaker set is defined by being a glass mixing vessel, usually like in the shape of what we call a pint glass now, with a metal tin. And a Hawthorne strainer. Actually, it's what my bar, the Hawthorne, is named after. And maybe why it's called a Boston set, because the Hawthorne Cafe, which is a 19th century gentleman's club on Avery Street, patented a version of the strainer. David Wondrich did some great research for us and can't prove that that's why it's called a Boston shaker, but did prove that's why we call this style of strainer a Hawthorne strainer. And I actually really prefer using it, down here in New York, the dominant style is tin on tin, which I will use for certain things like a Ramos type cocktail and a couple of other things. But I like the transparency of the glass. I like the guests seeing the spirit go in. I like to be able to see myself as I mount a sour, which of the ingredients are already in the glass. I like the feel of it. It is occasionally... the glass will fail, and that's can be a bit of a pain, but it's pretty rare. And I just find it kind of worth all of the other aspects that it brings to it for me. So,
So the drink, it's pink.
Oh.
Kind of like a subtle light pink, very light pink.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we're nose. So what's the difference between is there any difference between kind of tasting a cocktail as opposed to sort of tasting spirits?
Well, we get a little bit more towards an alcohol by volume here that's closer to beer and wine. So we can now nose with our mouth closed and without fear of really kind of burning ourselves out. And then it's pretty much the same rules. We're going to want to take one quick sip to wash out whatever the last thing we tasted was.
Right.
And then continue to nose it and then take that real evaluation sip.
Yeah, and that's really important. So that first sip, what did that kind of throwaway sip? Is there
It's just like rinsing your glass out when you're moving through the tasting.
So there's no technical term for it or anything?
No, but we could come up with one.
Yes, it's the best tasting mouthwash of it.
Well, this is kind of actually a drink like this is when you think of the origins of the word cocktail and, you know, Mark Twain's beginning to take a gin martini and before breakfast. And
right.
I feel like this little tasting size, this little thing right here, this is what they meant. This is
right.
They're not talking about sitting down to three martinis before breakfast. They're talking about
tiny
a very cocktails. Small little concoction here. We've got a couple of different things going on. What do you taste?
Let's see. I'm getting citrus, obviously.
Right.
Touch of sweetness. A little bit of kind of an anise flavor there, which almost like, I mean, not as powerful as, say, an absinthe, but it's maybe there's a slight absinthe rinse in there. As far as spirit goes, though, that's a little tricky. I think...
Kind of pulled a fast one on him, everybody.
Yeah, this is tricky. This is tricky.
Well, I have questions. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of glass is it in? Is it on the rocks? Is it up? What is it? What
this
does
would
it look?
Almost most commonly be served in a cocktail coupe. We're doing it in a little evaluation mode, so we just split it in a tasting cup.
Okay.
But you might have this on the rocks. We can play 20 questions about who I am as this cocktail if you want.
Let's do it. Are you a classic cocktail?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Maybe with a twist.
Are you a 19th or 20th century vintage cocktail?
Yes.
It has to be yes or no. Are you a 20th century cocktail?
It's an area of debate, but it's at least old enough to be on the cusp.
Okay. Is it a Paloma?
No.
Okay.
I thought you might think I went there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're getting citrus for sure, Kevin.
Right.
And a little something.
Right, and it's pink.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not a Jack Rose.
It's not.
It's not.
Yeah. Now he wishes he watched me mount this thing before we start a little bit. But the bottles that I poured out of have like little cryptic symbols on them.
Okay.
So everything is all either 1 through 4, or then it has like letters. So
yeah. I mean, I heard pink and I thought cosmopolitan.
If you order a cosmopolitan from me, I may try and talk you into this drink.
Oh, okay. So that, and I think it's as far as spirit, and I'm getting more spirit now. I think rum.
Smell the rum that we tasted.
Mm-hmm.
Against the aroma of that cocktail, and then do that with the tequila and the gin.
Ah, okay.
And see what you see. Because when you know what it is, it's pretty obvious, but you're doing just great trusting your senses.
Now it's gin. Now I'm getting gin.
Maybe that's tricking you up a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
Should I?
Yeah, go.
This is a daiquiri with a dash of Peychaud's bitters. This is made with
Bully
Boy rum, lime
juice,
and sugar. And the Peychaud's is the real wild card here because that's where you get that touch of anise.
Yeah.
And that's where it pulls the a straight daiquiri. The lime juice is really obvious, but this kind of Seville orange and other like layers of flavor in the Peychaud's matches up with the lime and just gives you kind of delivers a complexity. I think this is an amazing classic, and it's 4 ingredients.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Jackson, this is great. Thank you so much for teaching us how to taste. I hope you'll come back again and taste. This time Beth will be here.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, next time I need to be there.
Next time we'll do all cocktails.
Or come to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
We can do that.
Great.
Take it on the road.
So thanks a lot. That wraps up another Off-Duty podcast. For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at @WSJPodcasts and become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now even the Google Play Music app on Android devices. And if you like what you hear, tell a friend.